And we are back. We are back. Man, we are working for you this weekend. We are working. We are back. We're back. We're back. Welcome to the Coach and Coach Podcast. I am your defensive coordinator. I'm trying my best to keep them from scoring points, man. I'm trying, but it's not working out well. But I'm going to keep on running this defense. Maybe I have to blitz a couple of times, but I'm going to keep on going so my offensive coordinator won't be mad at me. That's the offensive coordinator. That's the guy that keeps scoring all the points and keep putting my defense back out there. Man, slow the ball down. Quit scoring so quickly because I'm not able to keep – I can't keep up with it, man.
Man, we're full-blown go. We're getting this content out to them. We're going to give them all the news and the latest updates on everything. We're scoring. We're getting in the end zone. We're converting. There's no slowing the train down.
Well, I tell you what, I need the NCAA to slow down with all their news, because every time I think we're done and like, ooh, I get a couple of days off, I can just relax. And I'm not going to lie to you, man. I was going to call you today and I was going to be like, man, you know, I got revival this week, man. We'll get back on it Thursday. But soon as I sat down and just opened my app, boom, there it was right there in my face. Man, we're going to dive right into it because it was something that I brought up a couple of weeks ago, and I guess when you lose three straight games, it'll happen to you. Today, Penn State decided to tell Mr. Franklin farewell, but not only that, they said, huh, we'll give you your $49
million. Man, I was shocked when I heard it. You said it to me, and I was like, is this real? And then I realized.
You thought it was fake.
I realized, like, holy crap, he's in the ESPN app. So I get online, and Pete Thamel had confirmed it. The man put in 12 years, and a three-game stretch cost him his job. It's pretty crazy.
That's something that – but, you know, people – like I said a couple of weeks ago, alumni, people that's pumping money into a program – I really don't have time for you to build and rebuild. You better be rolling. Just think about it. These are the same fans that might have been screaming his praises on last year. Now, this is the same alumni. It's the same people that might have been saying, hey, man, good job, Franklin, man. We're glad you're here. And the moment you lose to Oregon in double overtime, you lose to a winless UCLA team and then lose to Northwestern. They said, Mr. Franklin, please bring come to the office and bring your pass. We're going to, and they didn't let them know. They just said, come on in, bring your pass so we can go ahead and get this situated.
Yeah. You know, I go back to, you talking about the rebuild and stuff and the boosters putting in money and not wanting to wait on it. It's just kind of weird to me that he never could get the offensive staff or the players to have like a highly explosive offense that could compete with the Ohio States and the Michigans. And I think that was completely where his undoing come from. And I think it's strange that, like, you go back to when he was at Vanderbilt, you know, that was a tough job when it's always been a tough job.
Yeah.
And he rolled there. Like, Ole Miss and Vandy had some shootouts.
Hated playing. I was glad when he left.
Yeah.
Glad when he left.
And it's just weird. Like, he had a program that I would say pre-expansion, they were probably the number three team in the Big Ten. Post-expansion, they're probably like the fifth best on average in the Big Ten, and he built it to that and just never in 12 years never had that huge win, and until last year he made it to the Final Four of the College Football Playoff, and even then you were like, well, they're not gonna, you know, they should be able to beat, did they play Notre Dame in that playoff game? I think
I'm gonna pull it up from last year to 24.
But either way, regardless, you knew then, like, this is a team that should win, and they're not going to, you know? And it's just, that's just how it was the entire time he was there. And
they
get stale like that, you know, you
got in the semifinal game. They were one game from the national
playing for the national championship.
And they lost 27-24.
Yep. And
They
he's
beat.
always been right there and just could not get over the hump.
And it's been that way in the Big Ten as well. It was always a build up. They got Ohio State, and then they have Ohio State on the ropes and then lose the game. They have Michigan State, have them on the ropes and lose the game. That year, though, I mean, last year, they beat SMU 38 to 10, and then they beat Boise State 31 to 14, but lost to Notre Dame 27 to 24. So they were basically one, they were one game away, from the national championship.
And it's crazy how you can fall quickly because they were, what, preseason number two
Yeah, it
when you're.
happened. They wouldn't. Yeah, that's another thing. And we talked about that last week because the expectations of them being in the semifinal, you know, we and with, you know, recruiting, which wasn't amazing, but it was enough to sustain. And everybody, we just thought, hey, they're gonna roll right in it. And for the majority of the season, they roll, but they ran into the. And you know what's crazy though? They are just. You make a stop, then are we having this conversation? If you win against Oregon, but let's say he did lose, let's say you won Oregon, lost to UCLA, lost to Northwestern, are we still in the same place?
I think that I don't know. I think the seat's hot. I think you're headed to that same place. And I think once they, you know, if I know there would have been there's a butterfly effect to everything, but let's say the same thing happens to Aller, who I didn't think was the greatest quarterback to begin with, but then you lose, like if he's your
Yeah, you
starting
lose
guy,
him. He's gone for the season.
your backups can't be great. I think that it was headed downhill regardless, so they just sped up the inevitable, I guess.
So my question is, even though I think he saved himself this weekend by winning the Red River Rivalry, but as much is he on the hot seat?
At Texas,
Yes.
Sark. I think
Sorry,
they'll have a
I don't know why I was thinking Muschamp. I was thinking about a conversation from yesterday, but it's on the hot seat.
I don't think so because, like you said, that win yesterday is a huge rivalry win, and they're still, you know, they've got to lose one more game before they're even out of the playoff conversation.
Oh,
They've got to win out.
they're gonna lose that one more game. They're gonna lose that game. And if anybody unspent money. Nobody spends money like the state of
Like
Texas.
Texas, yeah.
And if let's just say that Texas missed the playoff and A&M make it.
I think it'll be a good look. And I think A&M's making it.
And if that happens, then do Stark have a job?
He'll be back next year. I mean, shoot. He's not really trying to think. He played in the national championship game last year. Right? Am I right about that? It was him in Ohio State.
No, it was Ohio State and
And Notre Dame.
Notre Dame.
Yeah. But he made the Final Four. And then you go back to the year previous, they were really good. I don't think he's there yet, but I mean, there'll be rumblings of it. There probably is rumblings now if you searched his name on Twitter, but I think it's all about who you have behind you, and I think the boosters in Texas really support him. So if they
So
support you.
I'm gonna go out on a limb. Mississippi State upsets Texas at Mississippi State.
You think you had their win? You think State's pulling that off?
I'm going out on a limb. I say Mississippi State will beat Texas at Mississippi State. I know they go to Kentucky this week, but that next week, I feel like State will beat. If State win that game, is it now? Time to make a move.
Nah. There's too much money involved in all this. I just.
Yeah, but we thought it was too much money. When
Yeah, what
people,
can you
when it
say?
comes to win, if they got enough money to hire them, they got enough money to fire.
But my thing is, like, who? The one thing these schools have to realize, how many coaches in college football have won a national championship right now that are active coaches?
Outside of Ohio State,
Clemson.
Yeah, he's Dabo on one. Kirby has won two.
Kirby, that's it. There's three coaches. So
But
who are you hiring? Like you.
that's the thing, though, that you can use that same argument with Penn State. These donors and boosters are delirious, and they are the one that's running these programs now. There is no patience in building programs anymore. There is what they're looking at now. It used to be, I paid this coach XX amount of dollars, so I want some results. Now they're adding on, I paid this coach and these players that this coach brought to me. And now I think it's worse because that we're paying the players.
Yeah. And with this portal era, I think programs are expected to be able to turn a roster over quickly, rebuild faster. You're not having to recruit freshmen and then wait till they're juniors, you know, and then you kind of like, you know, I would say like it takes 3 years. It used to take 3 years to build a program. You'd get your first recruiting class in and then, you know, you'd work your way up. Now that, you know, everybody thinks with a portal that you can recruit and rebuild it immediately, and what they don't realize is like there's no continuity on these rosters. These kids
None.
are thrown together and they're
None.
playing for a season, and then half of them are probably out the door when it's over with.
And that's what
They're
they don't
being
understand.
constantly tampered with.
That's what they don't understand about the professional game. Yes, they're playing with separate teams, but some of these players have been together for 2 or 3 years. Now you got a new team. It's hard. Now, I'm not gonna lie, it's hard to even invest. Half of Ole Miss players I don't even know. There was
And
a time
that's what.
when we were invested from July until before they had early signing period. Man, we knew so much about the players before we got to that second Wednesday in February that we were invested in that player. We know that at least for 2 or 3 years we have this player. Now you just don't know who is who.
You're cheering for laundry. You're not cheering for Eli Manning. You knew you saw him play in that bowl game against West Virginia, and we're like, we're gonna have a special. We got a chance to have a few special years here. You don't have that now. Like, you won't know how good your team is, or half or who started, because they won't even release a depth chart. They're scared to name starters and put it out, because the coaches are scared that if a depth chart gets out there and a kid sees he's not first string, he'll go get in the portal. It's a different time. Like, I don't envy the job of being a college head
Let me
football
ask
coach
you this.
right now.
Let me ask you this. Do you think the way they combat it, because you know, institutions were not pleased with NIL, you know, obviously. You don't want to get to a situation where people don't want to pay nobody. But do you think they allowed the portal to be so crazy to combat, you know, well, if you're going to pay them, we're going to let them go where they want to go?
Well, yeah, I mean that's what all that comes down to, you know, they file these court cases and these judges and are saying like you cannot put a restriction on that athlete's earning potential with NIL. And that's why you have all this portal stuff. But now if the NFL or the NCAA would have if you have a backbone, you'd say, well, they're signed up into our institution. They have to
Why
follow
isn't
our rules.
why is that not a contract?
Well, I
Because
mean,
signing day was a contract that you had to be released to go. So if I why and maybe it's in play right now, but why if I offer Benji, I want you to come to my school. We got $1 million in NIL. It's a 2-year deal. You get 500,000 this year, 500,000 the next. Why we hadn't got to that yet?
because then I think once you start doing that, that's where they lose. Like, which you to me, you're losing. They're professionals now. You're, you
It's
know, you're
all,
saying.
but coaches already professionals.
But
They
how do
go to
you?
the highest bidder. Look what the quarterback from UCLA did. He wanted more money. They wouldn't give it to him. Well, he jumped into free agency. It's
Yeah.
already professional.
And it absolutely is. But then, like. But how do you, because at the end of the day, like the players still have all the power in these contracts because They'll just say, I'm not worth that. Like, there's no salary cap, there's no CBA or player, there's no bargaining agreement. Like, until both parties can come together, set some rules, it's just going to be the wild, wild west. Because
And
there's, it's
that's
not like the NFL where you got 32 football teams. Like, there's 131 Division One teams. like, it's going to be hard to police if
but
somebody
we've
gets the money in
had
their hands.
you had only so many scholarships that you had. In a sense, coach, we actually, without the money, have operated like it should be operating now. You had so many scholarships you can give. You had so you could only give you had a restrict you had a you had an order. I'm just wondering why now is it so out of order? Why, how did money make it so out of order?
Well, I mean, money will make you do some crazy things, because once you jumped off that ledge,
Well,
you
somebody
went
send me some. I want to see if I'm gonna be
completely
crazy.
off it. Do what?
Somebody send me some money. I just want to see if I'm gonna be
Yeah.
crazy. I want
Same.
to see. Yeah, I'm gonna see if
We
I'm gonna be crazy.
gotta figure it out.
Yeah, because and it's just, man, and then you got I was talking to Coach Jennings one day. We was talking about this. Coach Jennings played at Arkansas State, and man, what, I can't wait to get him on because he got some stories at Arkansas State. That's pretty funny. But we was talking about that, and I was like, I'm trying to remember who we was talking about. And I was like, well, they might as well just stay another year. And he looked at me. He said, no, coach, they need to go and go pro because you need to go ahead and get a secured bag. And because I'm thinking from the fan perspective, I like, crap, man, he's making almost $5, $6 million. What's the man, stay in school.
Yep.
He said, coach, if it get hurt, then what? He said, man, they need to go on and go pro to get that secured bag. And this was, this is somebody that played professional ball who is who will forever be linked to the craziest play in NFL history,
Monday Night Football.
Monday Night Football. I told him the other day, I said, you didn't intercept that ball, boy. Don't ever tell him that. He will get upset. But he's linked in history over that. So whenever I have those NFL and that type of question, I always go to him because he unplayed on that level. He unplayed. He was one of the players that walked his way into the professional level. So I just feel like, man, it's I don't know how big the mess is, but I'm afraid that,
It's huge.
it's one thing to mop up a spill. But if every bottle in the house just bust and you just got water everywhere. I remember one time my washer was leaking, and when it was just slowly leaking, okay, we can just, I don't know what's going on. Maybe it ain't nothing major. Let me just mop that up. And then one day I come home and the whole washroom was flooded. Now the mop that I was using no longer, it ain't gonna work. I got a bigger problem.
We'll have more time to talk about it, because I want to, once we do get into that window, I think it'll be fun to kind of dive in and see where these players could be going. But they are trying to get this under control. So the new transfer portal rules, there'll be a one window, a 15-day winter window for college football, eliminating the spring window, and a shortened 15-day window for players following a coaching change, which will begin 5 days after a new coach is hired or announced. But that, I think getting rid of that spring window, like, you were having kids going through spring practice,
Yeah.
and then they could turn around if they didn't think they were going to start, or whatever, didn't like the situation, could go get in the portal. Like, Ole Miss has some key pieces on their team that didn't get to Ole Miss till after spring. I mean, that's crazy. So I think this is a good start, and we'll have plenty of time to talk about it when it gets here. But maybe this is the beginning of getting it back under control.
Well, I hope, I'm all for the kids being paid, because
Right.
I'm a 100% advocate for that because I've seen coaches make all this money and can leave when they want to leave teams in shambles. I told you about the story of Tupperville. I actually worked with one of the offensive linemen that was on that team, And he told me how Tuberville came in, made this big speech about it's all rumors. Now, if you was at that game, it all makes sense because the time when I saw, I was at the game, and when I saw a one-man route, I said, this man unchecked out. He actually ran a one-man route. Romero back, he a five-step drop, and it was one receiver in the route. So I looked at the game and I didn't understand why the fans were yelling Auburn. I said, State fans are stupid. They so stupid they knew more than I do, than I did. And he told me Tuberville got up there and told them that, man, it's all rumors and blah, 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 and said the offensive line coach come to him and said, we leaving tonight. Straight up lied to him. So that's why I'm all for players getting paid because I've been to college, you've been to college. College is expensive. And you can't, you don't have the freedom as a player, you don't have, that's what a lot of people don't understand. You don't have the freedom that everybody else have. My son, he didn't play at a big college, but he played at Southwestern, is a small school in Kansas. And I mean, they had schedules that they had to meet. And by the time you get through with all that, you ain't got, first of all, the NCAA back then wouldn't let you get a job.
Right.
And so you got all that stuff. So I get it. And that's why. And then these players, these young men, these young ladies are making these schools millions and billions of dollars. And I feel like they need to get a piece of the pie as well. But at the same time, it got to get under control because I feel like the more out of control it gets, the more dangerous it gets for the kid.
And the more, like, it's dangerous for the fan, like. Like everything we talked about earlier,
They
you're
don't care.
cheering for laundry now. You have like that's what college football needs to realize is like it's not like the NFL where the like there's a tie. Like if you these people didn't go to these, you got fans that didn't go to these schools who will cheer for them every Saturday because they fall in love with the storylines of the players. Well, now they don't know the players.
Don't
They're
know him.
paying a ridiculous amount of money to go to the game. They pay a ridiculous amount of money to support in any way that they can with the collectives, and don't run the fan base off that's made it so good for so many years is what I'm trying to say. I think it's tough for everybody. There's a way to do it correctly.
That's a perfect segue to our next segment. There was reports. I didn't look at. I saw it. It was buzzing on Twitter today, and I went and I read it for myself. And they, I guess, the question came about to Lane Kiffin. What was going on with the red zone offense today? And Lane made a comment, and he said, "The red zone offense showed up just like our student section." Now, you know how I feel about, when they take jabs at fans and I was at the game, and granted, this was the first game of the year where it wasn't packed to capacity. Matter of fact, I think the first two rows at the top were empty. They didn't have, but I would say about 85, 90% empty. But I'm a person that, when we're taking jabs at the fan base for not doing something, because and I know where you probably gonna hit me in a way that I don't want to hit, but I'm gonna hit back. But let me get my lick in first. We pay you a lot of money, and I say we, not like I don't cut the check, but if you're not winning, you ain't getting no support. But you get paid a lot of money to prepare that team. Whether it's 100,000 in the building or 100, you get paid a lot of money to prepare that team. That team get paid a lot of money to play this game. So for you to take a shot at fans because of the poor play that we had this Saturday, I got a problem with that.
He's taken shots in the past. Like that was kind of subtle compared to some he's taken in the past. But I'm with you, especially into
Hold on. He said he was with me.
hang on now, hang on now, hang on.
I was shocked on that one.
I am with you, given the environment of what the fan is dealing with today, from economic, what it takes to get to a game and stuff. You want it to be, for the fan, you want to have the opportunity to see the best game that you can see. And sometimes for some people, that may only be one game a year. So you're not picking
Yeah.
out of, they've played Arkansas at home, Tulane,
LSU.
LSU, Florida, South Carolina's coming up. And then they played Washington State. So out of those big games, if you can only afford to make one or two games a year, Washington State's not going to rank high on that list. And then you played an 11:45 sleepy type crowd.
Night
But it
before,
is,
night
but
after
here's
home.
my but. So that's where I'm with you, but here's my but. You have you I and I can't say this because I'm not an Alabama fan or, but I feel like all these big time programs, like you go to Ohio State on a Saturday at 11 o'clock for Big Noon kickoff. It's always packed. It's always loud. I've seen Ole Miss almost get beat by Northwestern State. I saw them lose to Jacksonville State. I
Yes, I
saw them
remember.
lose to Louisiana Tech. I'm to blame. I wasn't in the stadium yesterday, so I'm part of the problem too. But man, we used to pray for times like this. I think you should want that stadium packed and as loud as possible every chance you get, because you only get 12 Saturdays and what, 7 or 8 at the most at home. Always try to make the most of them. But it's a different time to try to get in the stadium right now.
Now, I'm with you. You said you sat in those situations.
Sat through it.
I literally I lived through the Ogeron years. Those were some tough years, brother. And first of all, I was mad that our names wasn't on the back of our jerseys.
Yeah.
We had a man that had 50 names, and it was nowhere to be found. Ben Jarvis Green Ellis. I think they start calling him the law firm. And we had a Patrick Willis that people probably didn't know who he was because the name went on the back of the jersey. So we've lived through that. But the moment, here's the problem that I have. The moment success come in, then the people like you and I get phased out. The people that sit and cheer and is invested. Here, my thing is, now, yeah, I fans, we want you there. As a coach, we both been coaches. Our fans play a huge part in the game. I still to this day say the North Half 1995, the super fans helped win that game because Bruce had got worn out and messed around and let the game because Carroll City scored on the last, I think, 30 seconds to tie the game. So that will pull that right there, momentum shifts. You know, we got this game sold up to about 30 or 40 seconds. And they threw the ball to David West, and he comes across field, goes 20-some yards, score a touchdown to tie the ball game. And we had to shake it off, and we pushed them guys, and we won that ball game. So, yes, I understand you want the fans in there, but coming from a fan's perspective, we do all of this stuff, and maybe as a coach, we need to get more involved in what they're doing in the stadium. Coach, yesterday, me and my son was at the game. We was at the game and we got there and we got inside the stadium around 10, probably about 10:30, 10:35. I took my son to the concession stand, got two chicken strip plates, two drinks, 20-ounce drinks. Coach, you want to guess how much that cost us?
Shoot, $70.
$58.
That's crazy.
That is crazy. So when you think about it, then on top of that, I'm just fortunate enough to be a coach to where I can use that. But what if I wasn't a coach? If I wanted tickets on yesterday, and let's say I got the cheapest one that's got me at the top, those tickets probably would have cost me $35, $36. So if I'm looking at $35 a piece for the tickets, that's $70. We bought the food, that's $58. Coach, if we don't eat no more, That's $128. I ain't even talk about parking yet. You can't even park nowhere. Everybody got a sign for $30 and $40. It's
Yep.
wait, you gotta walk 3 to 4 miles to get to the game. To be honest with you, brother, the game experience for a fan is terrible.
Yeah, for
Terrible. So for you to call out fans for not being there, granted, okay, student section, you made a good point while we was off air. We need to open up them student sections for people that want to be there. But we got people buying up these tickets and selling them to the scalper. It's more freaking scalpers at the daggum game. And if you get one of the tickets, you look at where the location is. This is the student section. How did they get this ticket? Why isn't nobody policing this? But we, but so when I
they
hear
got theirs.
a coach go after fans for not being there, then I start looking at the whole university as a whole because the fan experience at Ole Miss, I can't speak for nobody else. I know Mississippi State a few years ago, they make parking is ridiculous there. It's ridiculous there. So when you look at that and you talking, for me, it's easier for me to just meet up at my brother-in-law house, set up a tent, pull my TV out, go to the store, get me a grill, watch the game on TV.
Not
And
have to sit through the commercial with the man with the red hat on the field with his clock.
that's coach, it's worse now than it's ever been.
Yeah, I know
Every time
it.
out, there he go. Let
Yep.
me tell you why they're doing that. Because you're making money.
Absolutely.
You're making money. So you talk about a fan experience. The best experience to stay at the house. You ain't gotta pay for parking. You ain't gotta go walk. I can't take my mom to a game now, cause my mom can't walk no 2 or 3 miles to get to the game. You know, I can't take my other boys with me because I don't have enough money to pay for, because they're gonna want something.
Oh,
You
yeah, kids
got
are
two
gonna want
boys.
something.
They're gonna
Yeah.
want something. So you talk about you want the fans there, make it available for the fans to be there. Make the
Click
experience.
that.
We keep talking about the we improve our experience. We improve. No, you're not. You improve your way to make more money. And they kill me with this, well, NIL. Man, you've been making millions and billions of dollars. Don't give me that. So that's why I take it personal when I hear a head coach take shots at the fans because of even, I don't care if he was making a joke. Your red zone offense wasn't good yesterday. Just say we wasn't good. But don't try to take a jab at the fans like if they would have been there, you would have scored. Because if I recall correctly, it was the first quarter where we didn't score a touchdown and all the fans were there.
Yeah.
So it just gets me when they do that and everybody, well, he Nick Saban did this and Nick Saban had national championships too. Not saying it's okay for him, but he had national championships under his belt. So, and I saw somebody on the blog said, well, this is a good indication that he gone. I get sick and tired of that every year anyway. Even if it was true, I get tired of that anyway.
It's so stupid.
And it's just a thing. And it just burnt me up when I saw it because, man, fans want to be there. Man, people, true fans want to be there, but we can't afford it. We can't afford it. We're not, me and you, we're not, we don't have a trust fund. You know, our daddies and mamas don't have million-dollar companies where they can, man, you gotta buy a parking pass. We ain't got no money for no parking pass. We just paid $200 for the tickets.
I do want to give a shout out. I enjoy parking at the either Northwest in Oxford or at the old hospital because for $20 you can get on a bus on a bus that has TVs on it and watch what's going on. That's how if I go to the games, that's how I get up. But you better get there early because then they'll fill up and sell out and they drop you off right at the stadium.
Even that, coach, even though that's reasonable. Why? Why when you gotta pay for your ticket?
Well, you know,
Why?
I'll tell this story. I think that was part of the reason why my dad let our season tickets go because he bought he bought season tickets and then had the first year of the part of the closing off the campus, and you had to have the parking pass. So they gave him one that was a handicap one, and he didn't have a handicap tag. And the first game we went to, they tried to tell him that he couldn't use it. And he was like, "Well, I paid for it. So what are you talking about?" And I think that was kind of the
A true,
ending.
it's making my point. A true fan that has supported Ole Miss, been there through the hard times, been there through. He got more knowledge than I do. He was there with the Billy Brewer fiasco.
Yeah.
He was there when we had the interim coaches. He was there when we didn't have all our scholarships. He was there through all of that. And now that the team is having success, can't even do what we want to do because it's not made for us. It's not built for us. So if you want us there, make it to where we can be there. Because I'm telling you, you telling me that a fan, I never forget, we went to the bowl game when they went to the Motor City Bowl in Detroit. I think that was the first bowl game after all of the probation and stuff. That was the first bowl game we went to.
That was the Chad Pennington Marshall team.
Yeah, when I thought we shut down Randy Moss until I went back and saw the stats, I don't know what I was thinking. I thought we shut him down, but boy, I guess I had Malika Griffin on another level that he wasn't on that day. But that's when we found out Deuce was very fast. But when we bought those tickets, Coach, we paid $50. Coach, we was at the 50-yard line, four rows up. And we made the trip. We drove to Detroit. Me,
Yeah.
three of my friends, we drove because we was excited that we was in a bowl game. So you do have real, true Ole Miss fans that can't go because they can't afford it. And that shouldn't be. You get those lifers like you and I back in that stadium. We not leaving.
Nah.
We not leaving. I sat there and watched once, like I said last night, I watched Todd Yoder catch that touchdown against Vandy. And I sat there like this. They done went in the locker room. I was still in the stands like this. Couldn't believe what happened.
Cutting the lights off on
Me
him.
and my brother-in-law, we was there when we beat Rex Grossman in Florida. And we watched the fans rush the field. We was there. Crap, I drove to Auburn. That's how much I love Ole Miss. I drove to Auburn the first time we played Tuberville and we won in overtime. I was there. I was there when we beat Alabama. And I jumped off and rushed the field and wasn't thinking because as I was falling, I had time to talk to myself. And if you got time to talk to yourself, you shouldn't have jumped down. But I made it through. Somehow Trail ended up on TV. He was running. I let you know he was crazy then. He crazy now and he crazy then. I was there. I was there. I had to sit through Arkansas six, seven overtime and losing. I was there when Arkansas threw the ball on a fourth, what was it, fourth and I should know this by heart. Arkansas game, fourth and 30,
Fourth and 25.
fourth and 25. I was there. So, my thing is Ole Miss, Keith Carter, whoever the chancellor is, Lane Kiffin, everybody, get us true fans back in by making that place affordable to be at. Make it affordable for, and then I guarantee you, we won't leave. We love Ole Miss football. We
Agree
unlit.
with
Hey, you know we love it because we are lost and lost and lost, and we love it. That night that Tuberville was leaving, State beat the crap out of us. We've been out there through lightning storms. When we played Wake Forest one year, and we had to go
victorious.
hide under the bleachers, we've been there, buddy. We've been there.
2005, I believe. Wake
Oh.
Forest. 2005 or 6.
So. As you can see, that kind of
Don't say, Coach, you got fired up there for I'm gonna
I'm bringing it back down
go.
now though, and I came back down. I'm getting back to myself. But Coach,
All right.
we got another segment, and I said I was going to use my what the heck for certain days, but Coach, what the heck got to come on tonight? Coach, last night while I was watching, Auburn, and they was honoring Cam Newton, retired his jersey last night, and he was fired up in one of his crazy clothing that he usually wears. Man, it was the scene was electric. The fans were fired up, And man, it was, we're gonna talk about the game, but I do have a what the heck moment. Tonight's what the heck moment comes from a coach that I used to, after last night, I don't respect him no more. You said something last week, coach. You said the football gods won't allow you to be dishonest. It's one thing to be competitive, but when you try to trick the football gods, they'll come back and get you. Let me play an interview for our what the heck moment.
So I told him before the game, if these guys clap, it's a penalty. They can't clap because it will false snap. I've lost games on that before in the stadium. And I told him, I said, if they clap, I'm going to tell you. I got somebody in the box watching every play. They were clapping. So I ran over to him and said, they're clapping. They're clapping. And he thought I called timeout. And so I wanted to make sure he understood it. Go lip read because I'm screaming, they're clapping, they're clapping. I didn't need a timeout because we were going to get it off before the shot clock. It was 2-1, and we were going to get it off before the play clock ended, and I didn't.
Coach,
Yeah, they're clapping.
that was Kirby Smart, a disciple of Nick Saban. There was a situation last night. It was a one-score game. It was a third down, and the play clock was going down. And if you unsaw the video, you see Kirby Smart running down the sideline with his hand. This hand was pointed that way, and that hand was like that. Coach, what do this signal?
That's timeout.
Have they changed it over the years?
No, I think that's been it since the beginning of my time.
Okay, okay.
Probably the beginning of time.
Coach, tell me, can you read my lips?
It's like you're saying timeout.
Sounds like I'm saying time out. So you see my hand like that, and you see my mouth saying, and he got on national TV and said he was clapping his hands and that he was not trying to call a timeout. But that's not the bad part about it, coach. This what your heck moment got to extend to the referees as well. Not only did they not give him the timeout and gave it back to him, they didn't even give him a delay of game. Coach, they gave them a brand new play. Coach, when you saw that, what did you think?
I just don't understand how you give somebody a timeout back. Like, there's some calls on the field that are just irreversible. You can't review them. You can't do that. Well, if you granted a timeout, how do you give a timeout back? You granted.
How was he able to do? Man, when I say, and we're gonna dive into the game because there were three moments. Man, I felt for Hugh Freeze last night. Maybe the football guys are coming back at him right now because he is having a rough year with referees. But for them to not only give him his timeout back, but not even give him the delay of game, and for him to say, well, you was not going to snap the ball. It was already at zero. That's why your quarterback was doing this. The only one with clapping was your quarterback. You were doing that. And Coachy got away with it.
The funny part about it is if you go on Twitter, they do on the play, you can see the safety clapping and all the Georgia fans like trying to justify. Like, I still can't, even if you want to argue that there should be a penalty for delay of game for clapping, you cannot give somebody a timeout back. Like, I can't. I just can't get there, Coach. Like,
Coach,
it's as simple as that with me.
I have saw a lot of bad officiating, but most of the time is in high school. I never saw this bad of officiating that I saw last night.
It's the SEC. Like, you don't see it near as bad in the Big Ten, Big 12, Pac-2, ACC. Like, the SEC crews are getting, like, really bad.
Well, I know they said they needed some officials, but Lord, you need something that bad?
Has the crew that got suspended for the – what game was it they got suspended for? It was back in
– that was Auburn's game against – I would have to – let me find who Auburn played. It was their game against I'm trying to look it up.
Yeah, it's – but either way, like – I don't know if these refs they're calling up from these different leagues, it's just a different type of game, and I'm starting to wonder, are they watching the game and not watching what they're supposed to be looking for, and you're just catching refs actually watching the football game?
Coach, it was three instances last night. First of all, the offsides call. Straight go, and that's a judgment call. I can deal with that. It wasn't a good call. It was a great time on it. It was a great timing on that defensive end. He timed it perfectly. And what's the use of and you can't review penalties, but he timed it perfectly. But they call offsides. But the play that got me, Coach, is I sat there and watched the touchdown that was ruled a fumble. Coach, now you know more than I do, and maybe I got to be re-educate myself. But and you remember I asked you this yesterday when
Naquan Knight.
when he caught the ball and just threw it down, you said when the quarterback yesterday, when he dived over, the nose of the football had already broke the plane.
Should have been
That's a
touchdown.
touchdown. That's a touchdown, Coach. They
Yep.
sat and watched that for almost 6, 7 minutes and came back with the verdict that he fumbled. How do you miss that?
It's weird looking at the. I almost think replay, you get too many looks and you try to put all these looks together at the same, like, so you can see two videos at the same time as they're happening at two different angles. I thought the shot from the back of the end zone looking in was really kind of like, ooh. But if you watch the pylon cam, it's a touchdown.
Yeah, the
That's
back
all there is to
of
it.
the zone, your back of the zone ain't gonna show you when he breaks the plane.
Right.
But he broke the plane with the ball still in his possession. When the ball, I think when the ball got probably 25% inside of the end zone, that's when he fumbled it.
It's too
Or
late
that's when it
then.
was knocked out. At that point, it's too late. It's a touchdown. That would have put Auburn up 17-0 at home. And the fans are going crazy. And Georgia turned around and drove the ball down and kicked the field goal. So now, instead of being up 17-0, you go into halftime 10-3.
Yeah.
That people look at that, well, that don't really matter. Yes, it does. Yes, it do matter. Because in football, momentum is something. Basketball moves a lot. You can shift momentum quick. You know, somebody hit two or three threes. You go down there and dunk, you can stop that momentum. You can stop it. But in football, once momentum get to swinging, man, it's hard to reel that thing back in.
Yeah, and you just forced an Auburn team to go in the locker room,
Pissed off.
where they probably would have felt that locker room feels different at 17 nothing than it does 10-3. Like they had a drive that they had to go in the locker room sitting about how, well, we're in the fight now, you know.
17-0 feels a whole lot better than 10-6.
Yeah.
Yeah, you coming out swinging now. Now you sitting there wondering what else gonna happen, what else gonna happen, and then something else happened. Coach, should these? Yeah, I can answer it for you, but should these officials be suspended for the rest of the season?
I find something needs to happen. It was
They don't
bad.
get to call no more
I don't
games.
know if they've got enough to let them go.
Crap, I got three referees they can come get right now. You can have them. We'll send them up there to you. But those find somebody else because that can't happen, man. That cannot happen.
Was bad.
That's huge. You can't allow something like that to happen. And it was bad altogether. But coach, we're gonna go ahead and we're gonna look at the rest of the scoreboard on last night, for the whole day, rather. You had number one Ohio State beating Illinois 34-16. You had Indiana going to Oregon, taking all their Nike gear and coming back with a win 30-20 over Oregon. You have an Ole Miss and the lack of fan support beating Washington State 24-21 at homecoming. You got Texas A&M, who is a team that's scaring me right now. They beat Florida 34-17. You got Texas upsetting. That's crazy to say that, but Texas upsetting Oklahoma in the Red River rivalry 23-6. Oklahoma haven't scored a touchdown in 3 years in that game. 4 years.
Really? I
Yeah,
didn't know that stat.
they've only had field goals. So
Wow.
that's something they need to work on.
Yeah.
Alabama beats Missouri 27-24. You got Texas Tech beating Kansas 42-17. You got
I like Texas Tech, man.
Georgia beats Auburn 20-10. Man, it's just and Georgia drop. I mean, or Auburn drops to 3-3, and 0-3 in the SEC. The LSU beats South Carolina 20-10. You got Tennessee beating Arkansas 34-31. I don't know why Percy was celebrating when you only beat Arkansas by 3 points, but I deal with him later on. You got Georgia Tech beating Virginia Tech 35-20. You got USC beating Michigan. I still don't understand why USC is not ranked, but USC beat Michigan 31-13. And we got Notre Dame beating NC State 36-7. BYU beat Arizona 33-27. You got Utah beating the brakes off of Arizona State. I don't know what the love affair with Arizona State is with the voters, but they, man, they love them. I don't know why, but they beat them 42-10. And you got Colorado prime after the week he had, man, I'm pretty sure this feels good. They beat Iowa State 24-17, and you got Pittsburgh beating Florida State 34-17. We're gonna look at the top 25 this week to see any changes or any moves in the top 25. I figured that game would bump Ole Miss down, but we're gonna start from at 25. We got Nebraska. At 24, you got Cincinnati. 23, you got Utah. Memphis checks in at number 22. Texas drops all the way down to 21. USC, well, they in there now. They rank number 20. South Florida is ranked number 19. You got Virginia ranked number 18. Vandy holds strong to number 17. Missouri, even in the loss, stays at number 16, or they stay in the top 20. BYU is number 15. You got Oklahoma, even though they loses, they only drop to number 14. Notre Dame, did not tell you. They kept Notre Dame close enough that all they got to do is just keep winning a little bit, and they just gonna boost them on up. Notre Dame is number 13. You got Georgia Tech, number 12. Tennessee is number 11. LSU is number 10. Georgia is number 9. Oregon drops to number 8. Texas Tech is number 7. Alabama is number 6. Ole Miss drops to number 5. Texas A&M is number 4. And you said it, Indiana just basically took over the slot that Oregon had. Indiana falls in at number 3. And the Miami Hurricanes are number 2. And the Ohio State is wrapping up the number 1 slot another week. So that is our top 25. And anything different or crazy about that top 25?
Well, I think just to keep it local or sort of local, 80 miles from here, I just looked it up. October 25th, South Florida. If things go scratch and they stay the same way, South Florida and Memphis will play, and that game right there, like if the playoffs started tomorrow, South Florida would be your highest ranked Group 6 team, so they would get the 12 seed in the playoff.
So this game
But
is important.
if Memphis can win that game, they would probably be your team to look at getting into the playoff.
But don't they play a championship? Don't
Yeah,
they conference play a championship?
but it they but it's kind of like another whoever. Like, I guess if Memphis went through and won that one, and things went scratch, say Memphis got to 12-0, they would host it. I'm pretty sure it would be in Memphis. I don't think they
So
play that as a neutral site game.
they don't have a neutral site.
I don't think so.
Okay. So this game, that game is important then, because if they are able to hold on to that game, then you get that game back at Memphis. And man, it's something that Memphis is in legitimate games now. That's something. So now there's another school that we got to fight with, get recruits from now.
And then I think other big storylines is Texas A&M ranked too low? Should they? Because I think They might be the best team in the country. I really like them. I like their defense,
I
man.
like where they at because I still think you take away a couple of plays from Florida, take away a couple of plays from Mississippi State. And they had the luxury of being at home. I think if they would have played those games on the road, I truly think that the results, one of those games would have been a different result. But they are, I mean, they're rolling right now, and that's what I was telling, like, Beamer leaving South Carolina, man, get out of the SEC. Get out of here, man, because it's too much to deal with. When you got eight, nine teams in the top 25, and then the ones that are not in the top 25 can mess up your season. State could mess up your season.
And five of the top 10 is from the SEC,
Yeah.
from the country.
I don't want, man, I don't want to see that. Vandy isn't like the team that we used to say, hey, we got Vandy. No, we don't want Vandy now. So,
Nah.
Beamer, you better go. You call Virginia Tech and you tell them, hey, I got my stuff packed. You know how it is when when your auntie, your uncle said they was gonna come and get you, and you call them and say, "Hey, auntie, we got our stuff packed. We're just waiting on you." You call Virginia Tech and say, "Hey, my stuff packed. I'm just waiting on y'all to come and get me."
Yeah. And then I guess the last thing about this, just looking at Indiana sitting here, if you're Penn State, is Cignetti your first call? That man is, Indiana's never been a football school. He had a playoff appearance last year. He's sitting 6-0. Number three in the country with a win over Oregon on the road.
I think Indiana can pay them just as much as Penn State can. And I feel like with what he unbuilt there and in the state of Indiana outside of Notre Dame, you know, what else are you dealing with in that area? And like I said, I just feel like that he can Indiana can pay him just as much as Penn State can. And Penn State is not like it's an appealing job. First of all, I don't like their uniforms either. Now the stadium is awesome. I would love to go there and watch the whiteout. I would love to do that, but it's not like it's a job like, "Ooh, I'm going to Penn State." Now, coming from Vandy, yeah, it made sense. It made sense. But when you right now pretty much on the same level as everybody else, then I think it would be more of a lateral move than it would be like, "All right, I'm moving up."
Yeah, I agree with that.
Well, Coach, the NFL, we had some weird games and a couple of things I want to talk about on NFL because I'm kind of lost. But the Jets did something that has never been done before. They ended the game with a negative 10 net yards. Now, in the college game, a sack goes to the quarterback's rushing total, but in professional ball, it goes through to the passing total. So, and he didn't, man, he had a horrible, the Jets are 0-6, and man, Justin Field had 45 yards. He was 9 of 17 for 45 yards. So that means they had 55 yards of sack yards that they gave up. I don't know, maybe the Jets don't need to play in America no more. It seemed like they always somewhere else playing, but is it time to just, you know, the Justin Fields project, just it's time to move on from it?
Yeah, I don't see anything that, I don't know. Like, to me, he's almost got to have the right situation for it to work. And it's not always going to be the right situation. So I think so.
And
But I mean, it's also, it seems like New York is a place where quarterbacks go to die. So
New York Jets is definitely a place where they go to die.
that's what I mean.
And everybody that they've had over the years, they haven't had so many that is just is Aaron Glenn in trouble?
It's gotta be.
I mean, he's a homer. He played for the Jets. And he's 0-6 right now.
Yeah, it's hard to I think it's hard to overcome that. I don't know, like, what do they Like, do they have a plan to make some huge moves to try to change some things? Do they have plans?
Well, who's trying to come to New who's trying to come to the Jets?
I mean, that's true. I think it all depend, like, his time will depend on what they feel like, what are they going to do as far as, I guess, like, what's your goal here, you know?
This is what I don't understand about these type of teams. When you have an opportunity that if you're in a rebuilding stage, you got an opportunity to really ignite your fan base. They was a team that also passed on Shedeur Sanders
Yeah.
and said, okay,
Hey.
we're going to go with Justin Fields. Justin Fields, who got replaced by the Bears. Justin Fields, who got replaced by Russell Wilson with Pittsburgh, who wasn't sold on him. So you had an opportunity to draft him and you didn't. So sometimes you got to ask, are you really serious? I mean, if you're not going to win, make some money.
Yeah, that is true.
You're telling me Shadur couldn't have played no better than what Justin Fields is playing?
It'd been hard to be any worse, and you'd have probably sold a lot of jerseys.
Coach, he had 45 pass yards on today.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think it gets
And
any worse.
the crazy part about it, Coach, when you look at their roster, Tyrod Taylor is the backup. Coach, that's the backup. On a practice squad, they have Brady Cook from Missouri, the rookie. At this point, move him up.
Yeah.
I mean,
Try something out.
because like I said, this is a dumpster fire. Like this is something that, man, if I could run away from, hey, this is when you think, Coach, at least we're not Jets fans.
I mean, it's pretty bad, but I guess you're right.
Yeah, Coach, there is still some outlook. But just to go on for the rest of the NFL today, the Colts come back to beat the Cardinals. That was a tight game all day. The Cardinals, even though Murray was out today, Jacoby Brissett, who played for the Colts, so he probably had some extra motivation. Jacoby Brissett reminded the Colts who he was. He was 27 of 44 for 320 yards and two touchdowns.
Okay.
Oh, he came to play ball today, but the Colts improved to 5-1. The Chargers beat the Dolphins 29-27. The Dolphins are now 1-5. They are 1-5, despite Achane, 16 carries for 128 yards and two touchdowns. It wasn't enough. The Patriots didn't look good. I watched that game. They didn't look good against the Saints. The Saints, they are a weird 1-5 team. I think they can be better. I think their record should be better. Really, I think the Saints should be 3-3, but the Patriots pulled it off, 25-19. You have the Steelers beating the Browns 23-9. Just looking at and you know this stuff always get blew up, but looking at Dillon Gabriel's numbers for today, and that's. It's usually when I need something immediately, my computer start flipping and flopping instead of just giving me the stats and giving me the stuff immediately. Thank you, Mr. Computer. Gabriel threw the ball 52 times. He was 29 of 52 for 221 yards. But here's the bad thing about that, Coach. That's a lot of dump offs. He only
Yeah.
averaged 4.3 yards per catch. That's a lot of dump off. He was sacked 6 times for 30. He lost 38 yards. His QBR today was 33.6.
I
Man,
get it.
it's coming. It's on the horizon. Stefanski might as well get ready for it. They're going to be shouting for Shedeur Sanders, and I don't know if that's the answer. That team,
Well, I saw
the team
the
is
thing's
bad.
bad. Yeah.
They have a
That
good defense, Coach. They have.
is.
You cannot run on them. I've saw teams that have great running backs that cannot run on that defense, so it's not a full team problem. That offense is terrible.
Yeah, there was two or three highlights. I didn't watch this game live. I watched the NFL Network watched I just watched them continually update and show highlights as the game went on. And man, their receivers like either dropped, like one of them got hit in the helmet. Like he didn't have his head turned around. Gabriel put it on him. He didn't even know the ball was coming. And it would have been a touchdown. I think he would have walked into the end zone. It's not a good team.
They are a bad team. I don't know if you remember when the Browns used to wear the paper bags. They can go buy them some more because they're going to need them this year. The Panthers are 3-3, coach. They're 3-0 at home, and they beat the Cowboys on a last-second field goal. And Dowdy was with the Cowboys. They said he was too small. Dowdy had 30 carries for 183 yards against the Cowboys.
As bad as the Browns'
Woo.
offense is, the Cowboys' defense might be worse.
They are terrible. They are the worst. I would beg to say they're the worst defense in the league. They are 2-3-1 on the season. Jerry Jones need to fire Jerry Jones and move on. Stephen Jones need to fire daddy. Somebody need to fire somebody because that's a dumpster fire too. The Seahawks went to Jacksonville and defeated the Jaguars 20-12. You got the Rams beating the Ravens 17-3. We're 1-5. We still think. Derrick Henry had 120 yards, 22 yards rushing. Whoop-de-doo. We still think Cooper Rush is the answer. I don't know. It's we're trying to. I don't know who's going to be in the top five. I'm going to start looking at the top five picks. Waiting for Mel Kiper's mock draft just to see who we're going to be focusing on in offseason.
It's looking like it's going to be a race for who can, like, there's a bunch of teams in contention for
We got
right
more.
now.
It's more terrible teams than it is good teams.
It's crazy.
The Raiders, man, they beat the Titans 20-10. Oh
I would
my!
rather watch paint dry than watch the Titans offense.
But Cam Ward, he's coming along, coach. He 26 for 38 for 222 yards and a touchdown. He got bad receivers, coach.
There's no star power there. Like it's
They are
just a
some
bunch of
terrible.
dudes.
They're some terrible receivers, man. And you got your running back is Tony Pollard. So hey, it's just a bunch of dudes.
Man.
The Packers beat the Bengals 27-18. But Joe Flacco, 29 for 45, 219 yards and two touchdowns.
Man's out here slinging it.
East Day at 47 years old, he still got it going on, man. He said, just give me the ball and I'm going to throw it. The Buccaneers beat the 49ers 30-19. But Matt Jones had a night. He had a day. He was 27-39 for 347 yards, but two interceptions. But I think Matt Jones is getting himself ready to be signed by somebody. I think if he continue to put good tape together, there's a lot of teams we just named that he can be on. But
Oh,
coach,
yeah.
who is the team in NFL right now? Is it the Bills? Or is it the Eagles? Because everybody else just seems, eh.
Yeah, it's probably the Bills. And I don't think they're unbeaten, like I don't know if there's like that clear team that I feel comfortable saying like
Their
this
defense
team will
is
be,
bad. Their defense is still bad, and that's going to be their problem. Their defense is not very good.
like can the Colts go far because the division's so terrible?
Well, the Colts will still have to deal with the Houston Texans.
Yeah.
So they're not the best team, but they are still serviceable, and I think the Texans will still be trouble. That now the Colts, I feel like the Colts could probably win that division, but
And the Jaguars ain't terrible.
yeah. So that's probably going to be the toughest division in AFC outside of AFC West, because you got the Chargers, the Chiefs, or just Chargers and Chiefs. Because I'm not sold on Vegas being a threat. So the NFL is kind of here we are 6 games in. The NFL is kind of you really don't know what's what, and nobody have really stood out. Even the players, there's nobody just clear-cut best player right now. Like right now, MVP wise, I guess you could say Josh Allen is leading that right now. I don't know why we just don't call it the quarterback award, but
Right.
there's nobody else that's really Daniel Jones is. You got to put him in the conversation
Yes.
because he's having an unbelievable season.
Baker Mayfield's having
Baker.
a revival.
Just looking at the leaders on the year now, Matthew Stafford is leading the league right now in passing. He has over 1,500 yards. Dak Prescott, and a lot of his stuff is garbage, trying to catch up. But he always throw a lot of yards. But he got 1,300 yards on the season. Daniel Jones is third in the NFL with 1,290 yards. Did you ever thought you was gonna hear somebody say that Daniel Jones is third in the NFL in pass yards?
That man got out of New York and is having a,
It's crazy.
I don't know, it's like a change of scenery just does something for you, I guess.
Baker Mayfield is fourth with 1,283 yards. You got Drake May fifth with 1,261, and old Patty Holmes, he got 1,257 yards. I guess the one stat that really gets me is, you got Stafford is averaging 300 yards a game. You talk about, and I've heard different players talk about how smart he is as a player and how difficult he is to deal with, and it's he's showing it. He's showing it. Rushing this year, you got Jonathan Taylor leading the league in rushing right now with 480 yards. James Cook with the Bills got 450 yards. Javonte Williams with the Cowboys got 447 yards. Travis Etienne, at first I thought they was trying to phase him out, but he's fourth in the league in rushing, 443 yards. J.K. Dobbins in Denver is fifth in the league with 402 yards. And receiving on this year, you got Puka Nacua, who should be in the MVP conversation as well. Him and his quarterback, he has 588 yards on the season. He's also the target master. He is leading the league in targets by eight, and he's been targeted 62 times. And he's just, man, he's just. And these stats are not updated, don't have the stats for today, so all of these numbers could be a little bit different. They will be different. I don't know now that I've seen it. Once I've seen the five games, I said, well, they have not updated the games yet. So I'm just going to quit talking right now about stats because ESPN, that's what I get for going to ESPN on that. I should have went straight to the NFL. Coach, we got one more thing I want to ask you, and then and we can get off tonight. I saw an interesting story today. And the story, it was a guy, he covers the Lakers, and he said that he feels that LeBron is trolling the Lakers because they did not give him an extension. And when I started looking at the decision that I'm still mad about, and now all of a sudden, this injury. Is LeBron trolling the Lakers?
I wouldn't know, but if he is, I would think the decision video was, I mean, that's good trolling. Like that's perfect trolling.
I'm still mad at that video. That video did me in. It had me fooled.
But I would say like for the Lakers not to be in on that would say a lot too. So if they're not, if they didn't know that that was coming and had some way to capitalize off that, then what are they doing?
Well, hey, they got they're gonna have themselves a headache because LeBron is a brand all in himself, and you need him more than you really want to admit because he's still one of the top players in the NBA. Well, coach, man,
Yeah.
I've vented tonight, I've yelled and I fussed, and man, we have had a marathon of shows this week, man.
Been fun.
It's been fun. So we're gonna take a break to Thursday. No, because something else will happen and we're going to have to get back on. So we're not going to say we're not going to be on until Thursday because we don't know what might happen. Something might happen tomorrow. We got to get right back on. But rest assured, if something happened in the sports world, we're coming to you.
You
Coach,
can depend on us.
I did want to extend our prayers to all of the families in Leland and Roland Fork and Heidelberg. And it's a shame that we can't come together and enjoy these games. Also, Alcorn on yesterday. It's a shame that we can't come together and enjoy something that has brought all of us together in all type of situations. Sports is something that we run to when there has been a tragedy. I think about 9/11 and how the first time we played that game after 9/11 and all of the things that unwent on how sports bring us together. And you would think that, you know, when we get together to enjoy you know, being in school and enjoying all our friends and all of that, that you shouldn't have to worry about things of that nature. You send your child out to have fun and they shouldn't have to worry about stuff like that happen. And I truly hope that we somehow get better as a people. It hurts my heart that they have not. And me, I grew up in a neighborhood where the streets talk, and it bothers me that they have not made any arrests. And the reason they haven't made an arrest because nobody won't tell who done it. Somebody knows something, and if we don't take a stand in our own neighborhoods, we won't have neighborhoods anymore. And just being able to go to a football game and not have to worry about if somebody's going to shoot or if something's going to happen, that should not be a worry. Just to see those kids, I think, I don't know which one where the kids was running off of the field. I don't know if that was Heidelberg or Leland, but just to see those kids who's, you know, just get the game over with and they having to sprint off the field, that is a shame. And we as a nation, we as people should ought to have enough, in ourselves, you know, you can't control how people do things, and but you ought to have enough respect for if people don't want that lifestyle, don't bring that lifestyle to people. And prayers out to those families who suffering today, who's suffering, you know, over something senseless and stupid. And it seemed like, you know, the gun is what we always grab. You know, we grew up in a time where you fought it out and you just you and that's it, it's over with. But now we're in a different generation where everybody feel that they have to prove how bad they are. And it's unfortunate that those three schools and Leland even made national news. I think the total has went up to six dead right now, and that is a shame. That is a shame, and I can't imagine how the kids are going to feel. Crap, you can't even imagine. A parent don't want to send their kid to no football game. I wouldn't want to go to a football game now, because you don't know what's going to happen. So, I just hope our listeners share with somebody just like, hey, let's try to fix this stuff, man. We the community got to fix this. Nobody else.
Yeah, it's very well said. And sports should always, I always think of, like you said, there's been big moments in history where sports have been healing, and that's how it should always be. There, we can get it. I'd rather, if we're gonna have an argument, let's have an argument about my team beating your team or something. Not it's not that serious, and but that well said.
So we do extend our prayers out, and we do thank everybody that joined us tonight. And once again, make sure that on our YouTube page that you subscribe. Don't just go to the page and look at it. Go ahead and subscribe. That way you won't miss an episode. Also, you can go to Spotify. You go to Spotify. You can go to Apple Podcasts. You can go to Amazon Podcasts, wherever you get your podcast, and you can click on the Coach and Coach Podcast. Hit the subscribe button. Once you hit that subscribe button, set your alert. That way, it'll let you know every time a new episode hit. That way, you will not miss an episode. Also, follow us on our Facebook page, the Coach and Coach Podcast. Also, follow us on TikTok, the Coach and Coach Podcast. Also, follow Coach Benji on his TikTok, so you can make sure you get in on the reviews. And I think he has some special guests this week. So, man, your reviews are picking up, brother. Everybody's looking. You're gonna have schools scared to see you coming to the concession stand, brother. And but we are thanking everybody once again. And Coach, we are getting close to that 1 month. We got to do something on that 1 month anniversary, man. So we'll be brainstorming some stuff for you. But we are the Coach and Coach Podcast. He is Coach Benji. I am Coach Marks. And we thank you. And until the next time we see you, keep on doing what you're supposed to do.